In your Bibles, we find in Timothy, let me find it just a moment. I know it's in the Bible. Brother Bill, what book is it? Okay, preach the word. It says, I charge you therefore, brother, charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, in your afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That seems to be where we are at in our days. In the end of time. And we have many false teachers out there teaching, feel-good teachers teaching, whatever. But I wanted to bring this message out of Ezekiel, and it's Ezekiel chapter 1, 2, and 3. And we're not going to go over the whole thing tonight, but I'm going to kind of hit it all. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel tonight. Now, that's on page 728. You see, Ezekiel, God says, told him that we're a watchman in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the message. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you speak through your word and touch our hearts. Lord, that you use us. And Lord, tonight may we see that. Give you praise, honor, and all things. And Lord, as we leave this place tonight, may we leave changed with a concern for the lost, for our society, for America. Lord, that we might do exactly what you'd have us do. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, if you look back in the first chapter, what got me thinking about this is in Habakkuk. You was teaching on Wednesday night about Habakkuk and the people. And, you know, this is about the way it goes in Ezekiel chapter 1. The first chapter in the book of Ezekiel describes the incomparable, almost indescribable words and the weight of the meaning of the gospel and the vision that Ezekiel saw. It was such a vision that at the end of chapter 1, it says, so when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. He fell on his face before the Lord. I think of he fell on his face maybe kind of like a dead man, not knowing what to say or what to do, but knowing that he was in the presence of a holy God. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. And then in verse 3, he said, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. Look what they are, to a rebellious nation that is rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. And look down in verse 6. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns are with you. You will dwell among scorpions. Boy, that's bad, isn't it? Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. He keeps saying over and over about the rebellion of the people. Now, words could not describe this vision. As he fell on his face before God, overwhelmed, and then as God's call and commission to Ezekiel to a service. Now, it's a wonderful to be called into the ministry of God. The call of God is to a service for God. I never will forget my call to the ministry. I didn't know much, but I knew God was calling me. And I thought such a wonderful thing in my life, yet nervous, thinking about the words of God. The words of God's call is not only a call to service, but also, if you study the Bible, you see in many cases, it's a call of suffering. His people, his servants suffered many things. It was a beautiful call when God called Moses and he saw the burning bush. I don't know if we've heard that story so many times, but God called Moses at the burning bush. And the Lord was speaking out of that bush and he calls Moses to deliver the people out of bondage. Moses felt overwhelmed by that call. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up in the glory, and he heard God say, "Whom shall I send and who will go?" His call to the ministry was one that he fell on his face and said, "Lord, here am I, send me." He wanted to serve God. Paul, on the way to Damascus, he fell at the feet of God, blinded in the light. And he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" You see, God's call is always to service and yet to suffering. And we have an introduction here of Ezekiel's call of God to service for God, to deliver a message. Now, what God did in Ezekiel was he said, "Ezekiel, I want you to stand up." And he took a scroll, and I think you find that at the end of chapter 2. And he takes that scroll and the words of God, and he says, "Listen, I want you to eat." And he eats the scroll, he eats the words of God. And the Bible says, as he ate, it was in his mouth as honey for sweetness. And it's 2:9, verse 2:9, right at the end of chapter 2. And it was sweetness. And again, I think about the call of God, how sweet it is in our life when God calls us and we're called to serve Him, the God of all creation. Our God, our one that loved us. Now, what happened next was not so sweet. It began to be bitter in his mouth and his stomach. And the Bible says the delusionment about what God had appointed him to do, to tell the people that call. That was book, there was lamentations, it says, and mournings in verse 10. And woe, man, from the call, now here's the word that I'm about to speak. And Habakkuk, the same thing was when God spoke to him. It wasn't what he maybe, like you said, thought of, but it was almost crushing to his life. Now, when God told him that, He said, the people are going to be hostile towards you. When they hear the word that I'm about to say, they're not going to like it. And sure enough, people today don't like what the Bible says. When you speak today as a preacher stands forth, and that's why I read in Timothy, when you preach what the Bible says, it makes people uncomfortable, you see, especially when they're living in sin. And the Lord in his calling says, you will dwell among the briars and the thorns, but whether they hear or whether they obey, that's not the point. The point is, you are to deliver the message of God. He said, they're not going to listen, but you are to deliver the message, whether they listen or not. I want them to hear. Now, when we look at the calling of Ezekiel, why does God send a prophet on such a mission as this to a rebellious people, to a people that he knows are going to reject the message? You know, it's the same as a father pleading with that prodigal son to come home, or that mother who stays up late at night praying for that disobedient child, or a wife or a husband pleading with one another. God is like that. God pleads with his people. He pleads with his children. He says, listen, turn, repent, listen to me. You know, Hosea heard the words of God and he pours out his heart to God. And he says, O Ephraim, O Israel, he will say, how can I give thee up? Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times have I tried to gather you like a hen gathers up a chick under her wing, but you would not come, you see? And then he says to us and to Ezekiel, listen, whether they hear or whether they do not, it doesn't make any difference. In the call and the commission of what I'm calling you to do, you preach the word. You preach the word. That's your responsibility. And you know, that's what we are to do today. In the end time, yes, they're going to come. There's going to be a great falling away from the churches. And I believe with all my heart, we're in that time. Isn't it wonderful to live, like he said this morning, in biblical prophecy being fulfilled all around us. People don't want to hear the word of God. It makes them realize they're living in sin, and when we're living in sin and we don't want to change, it just brings us further and further away from God. The second thing I want us to know about this call and commission of this great prophet, he says, I have made thee a watchman. And I believe he's talking to Ezekiel, but he also talks to you and I, and he talks to the church. He says, listen, I've made you a watchman, and therefore hear the word of my mouth and warn them. You know, a watchman is to sit on the wall and watch for the enemy coming. And when the enemy's coming, he's to warn the people that the enemy's coming. And when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, he's telling Ezekiel, if you don't give them warning, and he dies in his iniquity, his blood I will require at thine hand. And what that tells me, as a church and as a individual, as a Christian, I am responsible to warn the lost. I'm responsible to stand and preach the word of God. Whether it's popular or not. God says that's not the case. You are to preach the word Whether they listen to you or not, that's what I want you to do. As a church, that's what we're to do. We're to stand firm and preach the word. God says we're responsible for that lost person if we don't warn them. And they die in their iniquity, their blood will be at your hand. You know, I need to warn people and deliver the message of God. And you know, that's a strange thing, isn't it? That God tells us that we are responsible to preach the word. And throughout the word of God, there is revelation of this responsibility. As you study the Bible, you see that we are responsible for before the Lord for the lost. Hundreds of years. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul said, listen to what he said, I call you to witness this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That is our responsibility. That's the role that we have, to declare all the word. You know, the whole counsel of God. Years earlier than that, in Genesis, God came to Cain. Cain had slain his brother Abel. And he says to Cain, where is your brother? And Cain says, Lord, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible? And God says, yes, his blood is on your hands. You see, God has given us, in the providence of God's divine grace, that we humans are his instruments to preach salvation to all the world. You see? Now, whether they hear it or not, we still must preach it. We still must teach the word. The Bible says we are wise when we win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, you know, he says make disciples of all nations. You see, in Corinthians, Paul says, in Christ I have begotten you. I have begotten you. I have made all things to all men, that by God's grace I might save some. And in the last book of in the book of James, he says, he that converteth the sinner from the error of his ways has saved a soul from death. You know, and I thought about that. It's an astonishing thing to think about God's scheme of grace and the instruments of salvation that he's called and put into us human beings, into our hands. Do you remember in the ninth chapter of Acts when Jesus Christ, in that glorious call to Paul to the Lord, Paul says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord says to Paul, you go to Damascus, to the street called Straight, for one Ananias is there, and he will tell you what to do. Now think about that just for a moment. Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I tell you what, you get up and you go to Damascus, you go to the street called Straight, and there'll be Ananias there to tell you what to do. Why couldn't the Lord have told him? Because it pleases the Lord to use humans, you see. That's God's glorious grand scheme of grace. And then in chapter 10, when Cornelius is in Caesarea, and he says to him, you go down to Joppa, and one Simon Peter, who will come and tell you these words, whereby you and your house may be saved. Why couldn't he have told him? You see, God says, I want to use you. You are my instruments of salvation to a lost and dying world. It pleased God that in our hands salvation should be placed, that we tell people. No sermon was ever preached without a preacher. No lesson was ever taught without a teacher. No missionary has ever reached a lost person without going with the gospel of our Lord and Savior. You see, no work for God is done without a worker, and no soul is ever won without a soul winner. God chooses us. He calls us to preach the word. Whether they listen or not is not what God says. He says, I want you to preach the word, and you are responsible to do that. Man, that puts a responsibility on us, doesn't it? For many years, I wondered, why did God lead me in the places that he's led me? But as I look back over the years, you know, it becomes clear to me all the time. And then in the third thing, he says, the watchman is under a commission and a call of God to deliver the word of God. Son of man, he says, I made thee a watchman that thou hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Our assignment, just like Ezekiel's, is to hear the word. Now, folks, to hear the word, how do we do that? You've got to be listening to God. You've got to be studying the Bible to hear the word of the Lord and to deliver the word from God. He says to Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? One, simply, that is sent to another by God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're to tell people about the word. Now, he is to deliver what? The message of the Lord. The ambassador delivers the message of the person that he's with. Like an ambassador to the United States will go and tell someone somewhere else in another country what our president or what our people have decided. Ezekiel, he says, didn't invent the message. Who invented the message? God. You see, I said this morning, people always want to know, what's your opinion on this scripture? Well, you know, your opinion is just as good as my opinion. It doesn't count for much. I always say, what does the Bible say? What is God's opinion? It's what God wants that counts. It's not what I say. It's what God says. Somebody asked me not long back, preacher, why should I have to be baptized? My reply was simple. Well, I didn't invent it. God said it. And if you want to be right with God, you'll do what he says. You see, God says you need to be baptized. It doesn't save you, but it's a commandment to be done. It's in obedience with him. And the Lord included it in his great commandments and his commission. So if that's the reason you ought to be baptized, to be obedient to what Christ has said in his word. Now, it didn't originate with me. It originated with God. I'm just his voice. I'm just the one that says, that's what you ought to do. God said it. And when God calls a man to preach and to deliver the message, he doesn't say to him, you know what? I want you to speak in your finest intellectual voice. I want you to get up there and, you know, be in your most brilliant imagination ever. He just says, speak my words. I'm not up here, and you shouldn't have to be up here to entertain people. You see? He never said anything like that. All he says to Ezekiel, you are to hear the word from my mouth and tell them. I was thinking the other day, you know, when a man's in a burning house and he's asleep in that burning house, he doesn't care how you tell him as long as you tell him that his house is on fire. That's what makes the difference. He doesn't care if you yell at him. He doesn't care if you whisper. As long as you wake him with that voice. And the Bible says God's message is, unless you turn and believe, then one day you're going to face a judgment. Now, God tells us we're responsible to do that. Not with any kind of flighty words. Just tell people. People all the time say, well, you know, I don't know how to tell somebody about Christ. Well, shame on you. All you have to do is tell them how much you love him. You know, I can't help but just love the way Linda, you know, sings that, you know, it took a miracle of God's love to love me. And we are responsible to the world to tell them about that miracle. You know, it's been it's over 2,000 years. And yet, it's hard to me to realize there's still people in the world, in our world, that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were talking one time in one of our missionary moments in our convention as we were talking about reaching people for Christ, and there was a missionary there that he had preached in Africa to a group of that had never heard the gospel, and he had made mention that it had been over 2,000 years and people haven't heard the gospel in the world. And a little boy that was there that heard that came to him after the service and said, if it's been over 2,000 years, why are we just now hearing about it? Good question, isn't it? It's a good question. People all over the world have not heard about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why haven't they? Man, I heard a story about a man and his wife had gone out to eat, and she was dressed in one of the most beautiful gowns, and they were sitting at a table, and a Christian man was sitting across from them, and he just came over and started talking to the lady about Jesus Christ. He was a witness for Jesus Christ, and her husband came back. He'd gone somewhere and he came back and said, what was that man telling you? And she said, he was telling me about Jesus Christ. And if I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the husband looked at her and said, well, did you tell him that was none of his business? And she said, no, I didn't. Because if you could have heard the way he was telling it, you'd have known it was his business. You see, it's our business. It's our business to tell people about Jesus Christ. People might say we're peculiar. I was listening to a show the other day on television. It was about these people that think they're PhDs in the ministry and stuff like that. This woman was talking about Christianity and how they haven't arrived. They were bad and they were causing more people to go different ways than they were leading them, and that Christ really, she was just putting Christianity and Christ down. And I thought, man, and you got a PhD, you didn't learn nothing? You know? They don't like what we have to hear and say. The world doesn't like that. It's a great falling away, but you know what? What I want you to understand is, in Ezekiel's day, God said, it doesn't make any difference. You tell them what I've got to say. That's your responsibility. And that's what I have commissioned you for. Whether they like it or not, you just be honest and tell them about the Bible. We've got too many people today that really don't understand what they believe. And that is a crying shame. We've got people in our church that cannot witness to their own children because they don't know how. That's a shame. They don't know how to deal with the Islamic race. You know, they don't know how to deal with this Buddha and all of these others. And my version is, you know, there's only one God. I don't have to deal with that other. I'm just going to tell them about Christ. And by the way I live, man, we should be winning people to Christ. As a church, as a watchman, God says, you preach my word. They're not going to like it, but I know that. You just preached what I tell you to preach. And this is it right here. It's cut and dry. You know, preach it in love. Preach it in love. We are responsible not to sow hate, but to love people. But yet, preach the word. Nothing else. And we are commissioned by God to do that. You say, well, he ain't called me to preach, but you're an ambassador for Christ. You have a message. Let's preach that. I have set thee a watchman to the souls of people. How good a watchman are you tonight? I'm talking to Christians here tonight. I'm talking to people, we had no visitors. When Teddy said that, I thought, yeah, God told me to preach this. I know why. We're preaching to the church tonight. He's made you a watchman. Man, we have a responsibility. How many people have you told about Christ this week, this year? How much time have we dedicated to studying his word, being in Sunday school and Bible study? Man, we ought to be here every Wednesday night. We ought to be here every Sunday night. But we're not, are we? Our church is not. You are probably here, but our church is not. Our people are not. And no wonder our lives, their lives are falling apart around them, is because they don't know what the word of God says. Isn't that a shame? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we take your word into our heart like Ezekiel did. May we feast upon it. And Lord, it's not all sweetness. There's going to be times in our life when people reject us. There's going to be times in our church that our own members reject us. But Lord, we have a responsibility to stick with the word and preach the word. In season, it says, when it's popular, and when it's not, preach the word. Lord, I pray tonight that we will see that you have called us, you've commissioned us with that responsibility. And Lord, we'll go from this place this week and we'll tell somebody about Jesus Christ. For it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen.